Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
T-Biz Podcast delivers tea news that you need to know. A recap of the week's major headlines with commentary and cultural trends hosted by Dan Bolton. It is the voice of origin for tea professionals and enthusiasts worldwide.
The T-Biz Podcast and blog connect you directly to experts in the tea lands. Listen as their voices reveal the news, innovations, cultural insights, and consumer trends that most impact the industry. Paired with Tea Journey, a digital magazine for tea enthusiasts, the Tea Biz Portal is a global resource for everyone who loves tea. Hello, everyone. Here are this week's headlines. Certified organic handler should beware of USDA's tough new NOP regulations. Register now for discounted admission to the Colombo International Tea Convention in July. And Zimbabwe tea yields are pressured by El Nino drought. Tea outsells every beverage in Japan. Bottled green teas are far more popular than soda. Hot tea consumption, however, has declined by half from more than a kilo per capita. Loose leaf volume spiked briefly during the pandemic, but is now at a seven-decade low. In contrast, overseas demand for Japanese green tea set a recent sales record. Today, we have the privilege of talking with Riko Osaka, an accomplished green tea wholesaler, licensed Japanese green tea advisor, and the founder of Hokusan, a brand with family roots in tea. Aging farmers and fierce competition in the beverage market led some to question whether Japan's tea industry can be sustained, says Riko. Quote, "We haven't had a revolution in 20 years. I think it's time for the younger generation's creativity to establish new trends. There is always more opportunity, especially in a technologically strong country like Japan." And now, a word from our sponsor.
What makes a perfect cup of Ceylon tea? The perfect cup is from the tea businesses that ensure the protection of all the children living within their tea estates. We salute Keilani Valley, Talawakili, Bogawanthalawa, Harana, and Eliptia tea estates. Support Save the Children, Sri Lanka.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture has implemented stringent new regulations, a crucial step in the fight against fraudulent organic claims. It's now imperative that most entities involved in organic trade obtain certification to comply with the new regulations. The National Organic Program Strengthening Organic Enforcement, SOE regulations, mark a significant shift encompassing anyone involved in producing, selling, processing, or packaging organic products. Effective from March 19th, the certification requirement applies for the first time to specific entities in the organic trade, including tea brokers, traders, importers, and exporters. Additionally, any operation that comes into physical contact with organic agricultural products, such as aggregating, culling, conditioning, treating, packing, containerizing, warehousing, storing, repacking, labeling, receiving, or loading, must also comply. Handling also includes activities that may not involve physical contact with the product, such as selling, trading, facilitating sales, or trade. Quote, we strongly advocate for the certification of all entities operating in organic trade, end quote, emphasizes the USDA. Quote, safeguarding and expanding the organic sector and the trusted USDA organic seal is a crucial aspect of the USDA Food Systems Transformation Initiative, reiterated Undersecretary of Marketing and Regulatory Programs Jenny Lester Moffitt. The SOE, she says, substantially increases oversight and enforcement authority, bolstering the trust of consumers, farmers, and those transitioning to organic production. This achievement underscores USDA's unwavering support for the organic brand, she said. Foreign suppliers must now obtain an NOP import certificate issued electronically for any certified organic shipment entering the U.S. Farms and businesses must also obtain an NOP operating certificate or equivalent. Business Insight. Despite the new regulations, the number of certification applications has not significantly increased, leading industry observers to conclude that many suppliers are not compliant. The rule change followed a massive fake organic grain scandal uncovered in 2017. USDA has made it clear that noncompliance will not be tolerated. Entities that must get certified under the rule must apply for certification to avoid penalties under the Organic Foods Production Act, OFPA. Download the USDA NOP fact sheet on the TBiz blog or visit www.ams.usda.gov for more details. The Colombo Tea Traders Association and Sri Lanka Tea Board will host the Colombo International Tea Convention at the Cinnamon Grand Hotel from July 24th to 26th. Discounted registration is now open. Early bird discounts end on March 31st, so register now. The convention theme is Tea, a Lifestyle and a Livelihood. The event will explore Ceylon Tea's pivotal role, spark conversations, and inspire action towards a sustainable tea industry. The program includes 50 speakers and will unfold in 8 sessions over 3 days. Events include an outcry auction, gala dinner, and beach party on closing night. A Ceylon Tea tasting experience will introduce attendees to Sri Lanka's growing regions. Sessions include Fair Price as a Global Challenge, a topic of utmost relevance in today's tea industry, an ozone-friendly to zero-carbon session on climate, and a conversation about the value of tea. Sri Lanka has emerged from financial, political, and social turmoil addressed in a session on the resilience of tea and its legacy. Business Insight. I will moderate the Friday discussion on innovation, which features a panel of ag technology experts presenting innovations that include streamlining financial transactions, online markets, new traceability tools, digital identification, and cloud-based analysis of tea as a service. Tea harvests in Zimbabwe and the Southern Hemisphere are peaking well below average. According to Zimbabwe's Horticultural Development Council, HDC, the tea industry faces significant challenges due to unfavorable weather conditions, economic policies, and exchange rate disparities. The late onset of rains tied to the El Nino during the 2022-23 season has reduced tea output. Insufficient rainfall throughout the season, extreme temperature fluctuations, hailstorms, and erratic rainfall affected tea plantations, leading to lower yields. These setbacks had a cascading effect on the subsequent season as the industry struggled to recover and regain its momentum. Statistics from the Ministry of Lands, Agriculture, Fisheries, Water, and Rural Development's first round of crops, livestock, and fisheries assessment reports, pre-harvest, indicate that the area under tea has declined by 14% to 4,868 hectares in the 2023-24 season. Growers last year harvested 5,662 hectares. The Herald writes, the reduction was not a setback, but a strategic decision. Growers strategically reduced the hectares under T in 2023 and shifted their focus towards improving quality rather than quantity to mitigate the adverse effects, reports HDC. This was also expected to help improve selling prices, which instills optimism for the future. Taganda Tea Company, the country's largest producer, said tea prices increased slightly to $1.44 per kilo from $1.42 per kilo in the previous season. Taganda reported tea bulk production declined 19% by volume to 1,986 metric tons in the current season. Despite production declines, bulk tea export volumes grew by 18% to 1,274 metric tons in late 2023, owing to improved logistics. The company reported that sales of packaged tea at 475 metric tons were 14% lower than the 549 metric tons sold during the same period last year. Quote, despite these challenges, the tea industry is actively exploring avenues to boost production and reinvest in tea estates. Efforts are underway to expand the production of other export crops as well, such as avocados and macadamia nuts, through schemes that support emerging growers, said HDC. Quote, avocado and macadamia plantations under precision irrigation are looking healthy, and the harvest of these crops will commence towards the end of the second quarter of the fiscal year, according to HDC. Very few hectares of tea are irrigated. Next, Arvinda Anantharaman in Bengaluru reports on this week's India Tea News.
India Tea News for the week ending 29th March 2024. This week's news focuses on Assam. The Telegraph reported that the Assam Botleaf Tea Manufacturers Association have unanimously opposed the Tea Board's order for 100% of dust-grade tea to be sold by other auctions. Their view is that existing sale mechanisms bring higher price realization when compared with auctions. The members also opposed the demand on the Botleaf factories to test all the green leaves sourced in tea produced at the factories for food safety compliance, stating that the use of chemicals and pesticides was at the grower level and not at the factory. They've also said they will cease manufacturing operations starting 1st April 2024 to protest against this non-compliance of green tea leaves. But Assam's already seeing a significant drop in first flush production. North India has been seeing a dry start to the year, which has impacted tea production. First flush plucking was expected to begin in early March and has been delayed due to lack of rain. Media reports quote planters as saying the crop will be about 40% lower than average for the season. In March 2023, Assam's tea production stood at about 34 million kilos. So all eyes are on April now to see if the first flush will still meet expectations. Darjeeling, Sikkim and Kangra have also had a late start to the season for the same reason. The only good news of the week, perhaps, is of Hindustan Unilever, which owns tea brands Brookbond, Taj Mahal and Taza, partnering with the Tea Research Association of India to promote regenerative agriculture. And together, these two expect to undertake a life cycle analysis to develop strategies to reduce carbon impact. This will cover 19 tea estates and factories and 19 small tea growers across 15,000 hectares in Assam, West Bengal, Tamil Nadu, Kerala, and Karnataka. Hindustan Unilever is also expected to invest in Assam to enhance value addition in tea.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Nish. I grew up in an organic tea farm and founded Nepal Tea Collective in 2016. Tea is not just a beverage for me, but a catalyst for social change, sustainably empowering hardworking artisans like my parents for the past 30 years. I'm on a mission to make the whole world aware of the goodness of Nepali teas and the good that comes from supporting growers in this remarkable land. If you haven't tasted Nepali teas yet, You're missing out. Our award-winning teas are making headlines. Find out why. Visit Nepal Tea Collective's website to get a free sample of this extraordinary taste of the Himalayas. That's nepalteacollective.com. Or just send me an email at nish, N-I-S-H, at nepalteacollective.com. Cheers.
Tea outsells every beverage in Japan. Bottled green teas are far more popular than soda. Hot tea consumption, however, has declined by half from more than a kilo per capita. Loose leaf volume spiked briefly during the pandemic, but is now at a seven-decade low. In contrast, overseas demand for Japanese green tea set a recent sales record. Today we have the privilege of talking with Riko Osaka, an accomplished green tea wholesaler, licensed Japanese green tea advisor, and the founder of Hokusan, a brand with family roots in tea. Aging farmers and fierce competition in the beverage market led some to question whether Japan's tea industry can be sustained, says Riko. Quote, "We haven't had a revolution in 20 years. I think it's time for the younger generation's creativity to establish new trends. There is always more opportunity, especially in a technologically strong country like Japan." Riko Osaki's upbringing is deeply intertwined with the tea lands surrounding Mount Fuji, a region that produces many famous teas. With its spectacular coastline, hot springs, and fertile volcanic soil, Shizuoka is a growing region that plays a pivotal role in Japan's tea production, producing 40% of Japan's tea in 2023, totaling about 27,200 metric tons. Riko's brother is a green tea sommelier and exporter who sources her teas. Riko has lived in Canada for 20 years. 4 years ago, she founded Hokusan. She specializes in matcha, a unique and highly sought-after variety of Japanese green tea. Thank you so much for joining us on the Tea Biz podcast. It's just a delight. I've heard you speak in public, and your enthusiasm and the fact that you're a wonderful thought leader for Japanese tea is one of the reasons why I've invited you to the program.
Thank you for having me, Dan.
Today we are discussing the fundamentals of sustainability. Japan is experiencing a tough period. Will you introduce our audience to the challenges of sustaining the Japanese tea industry, a centuries-old bastion of tea?
So in terms of sustainability in Japanese green tea industry, one of the major challenges we are facing is aging of tea farmers in Japan. The average age of tea farmers now is 68-year-old. Just from my hometown, Shizuoka, over 85% of tea farmers do not have anybody to take over. Their children are not interested to take over the tea farms. In 10, 20 years, we're going to have to find a solution to sustain the industry. You know, there's a lot of tea companies, tea merchants out there. If we don't have a tea to produce, there's no tea to buy or sell. So the origin of the producing aging is a serious issue. This is not only tea industry issues, just Japan societal issue where we are not having children. People are not getting married, no children, and just a large, large aging population where in 2030, I believe 30% of Japanese population is known to disappear. So we'll have this gap in the next 10 years or so where we have to find a solution to fill this gap societally. And that's obviously impacting seriously on tea industry. The second thing is, as you mentioned, the dietary change. Last 20 years or so, more women started to work. Back in the day, my grandparents' day, women stayed at home, men worked, and that was just the way it was in the family dynamic. But women start gaining independence, financial independence or so. And Japan itself societally became much more globalized. And last 30 years in Japan, more people eat pasta and bread than rice, which is a big dietary change. You know, rice nicely pair with green tea, but maybe if you're having a piece of toast, you might want to pair with coffee or maybe black tea. And naturally, that change really shifted and impacted Japanese green tea industry as well. Younger generation are not drinking green tea. The only generation drinking green tea now are 60 up. We have much higher coffee consumption now as 2024 than green tea. So that naturally dropped the pricing of tea as well. Tea prices low for the last 20 years, continues to drop. Consumption rate dropped. Obviously, if tea farmers, they're getting older and they're not motivated to, you know, the price is going down and it is quite hard combination to sustain the industry together. Lastly, global warming is a big one for Japan. Unlike Canada, Japan is a tiny, tiny island. We have a lot of volcanic plates underneath the island, which cause a lot of earthquake, tsunami, flooding, evaporation for eruption from the volcanic mountains, and hot summer, which has been rising drastically for the last 20 years. We are seeing bugs that did not exist before. We see animals, they're not able to sustain themselves in the mountain and they're coming down to residential area, tea farming area, and just destroying the farms and all different challenges we never faced before. So yeah, aging of farmers, pricing drop, domestic consumption drop, as well as global warming. Those are the main sustainability challenges we are facing.
For centuries, most of the tea produced in Japan was consumed in Japan. About 98% stayed in the country. All that has changed. They're a perfect example of how Japan has reached out to different parts of the world and earned record exports in recent years. The government's large investment in outreach and the decisions by several provinces to subsidize promotions have encouraged producers to look for foreign markets. Talk about that in light of your brand, because it represents a unique opportunity.
Right after the war, there was a deal we made, and one of the export items that was selected by America was green tea, especially after the COVID, it's going up again. I believe that it's a lot to do with a lot of people's health mindset. Health consciousness has a huge impact on the matcha. I'm drinking matcha now. It looks green. People associate matcha and green tea as healthy drink. That's how it caught the attention. For younger generation, though, especially in North America, I'm seeing that a lot of trend and connecting to Japanese green tea philosophy, like you were saying earlier about meditation, emotional impact. You know, younger generation, they're much more attuned to how we feel and mindfulness and meditation. And I think that's more embedded also in the education system. So they're much more aware. So I think they are very attracted to the mindset of Japanese green tea philosophy behind it and the mental effect to it. And that's one of the cause for the export demands to be going up continuously.
You position Hokusan as a premium, versatile green tea supplier that encourages tea drinkers to try something beyond lattes and smoothies. I see recipes for matcha tiramisu, tofu, matcha yogurt gelato, steamed matcha bread, and matcha custard pudding. The brand is not solely focused on serving ceremonial-grade tea to Japanese connoisseurs, but I see that you also offer ceremonial-grade matcha. Your marketing educates non-Japanese, reaching out to others who might want a matcha sour, soy matcha latte, or a hot matcha milk cocktail.
it's not very great things to inform people that people in Japan are actually not great drinking green tea. So when I talk also about reality, what's happening with producers now, especially younger generation, they want transparency. They want a real story. They want an actual truth, what is happening. And that really touches people on emotions. So we are here to tell the story, what is actually happening in Japan and our industry, to create that bridge between the tea producers and Canadians. Matcha is not just delicious. We want to obviously promote, you know, beauty and deliciousness of green tea as well as health benefit, but our company with more purpose and vision and reasons. We want to sustain the industry. I intentionally hire a lot of Japanese younger girls who come to Canada to study English and also to work. They look for opportunity to learn English and learn Canadian culture. And I was privileged to work with 7 beautiful young women at the Toronto Tea Festival. I see that that is something lacking in Japanese green tea industry. It is quite man-dominated, and there's not much opportunity for women. That is a more societal issue, but especially tea industry. I worked at Japanese green tea auction market, and as of 2022, I was the first woman to work there, and I was shocked to see that. And when I was working there, people would come up and ask why I was working there, because I was a woman. And people would be like, you know, older men would be like, you should go serve tea. You should go wash dishes. And there's a gap in mindset from North American standard. You know, we're much more gender equality and progressive that way. And Japanese women, younger generation, need more role model to inspire them, to motivate them, to lead them with confidence. And such a beautiful product and purpose we have to connect the country we love. And I think this green tea industry is something I'm also always fighting for. I always talk to Japanese government about this issue as well, because end of the day, women are actually shopping at the supermarket, grabbing those tea from the counter. There's a gap between the consumer and the industry. So I think more opportunity to promote women and empowerment is also one of my goals.
There's elegance in preparing green tea. The task lends itself to ritual because the most rewarding teas require careful attention to precise measurements, quick steep times, lower temperatures, and techniques such as frothing. How do you convey the care and consistency in preparing Japanese tea to the outside world?
One of the challenges I have been feeling and facing since I started this business is education. Yep. Simple education and information, even within the tea industry expert, they don't know. Matcha is something they have no idea. So it takes time, and the foundation and educations are the key. I'm continuously doing that with my new client. So that is one of the challenges, that people just simply don't know enough about matcha or Japanese green tea industry in general. One of the challenges I'm facing is, lack of education. That's something I would like to invest my time continuing to promote.
Matcha is quite remarkable, isn't it? It's a tea made in a rigidly traditional, authentic Japanese way that is not easily produced elsewhere. Marketers have made it modern and convenient, which is a real challenge for tea. Okusan has demonstrated many popular uses for matcha, suggesting innovation is essential to renewal. I am hopeful that Japan will innovate its way out of the current predicament.
I hope so. About 20 years ago, in about 2002, 2003, we went through this revolutionary time for matcha domestically, and there was Starbucks came out with matcha frappuccino. And that changed the game in domestic matcha consumption big time. And they also came, Häagen-Dazs ice cream also came up with matcha ice cream. And all those cooperation with creative idea to recreate the trend again. It's time. I think we haven't had any revolution after the matcha latte, but all those creativity and younger generation's idea and innovation, I think there's always more opportunity, especially technologically strong country like Japan.
Intrigued by what you heard in today's podcast? Would you like to learn more from our global network of TBiz journalists and tea experts? Remember to visit the TBiz website for more comprehensive coverage. That's www.t-biz.com. Thanks for listening. Farewell till next week.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.